Shake the Leg this weekend. It is finally here. Finally Friday. One of two weekends left before students head back to school. Of course, I think teachers go back next week to get ready for it all. But yes, Shake the Leg tonight and tomorrow. Our Riders are leaving for Calgary. They meet the Stamps tomorrow night. In my household, we've been packing up the gear and getting set to go to Cypress Hills, do a little camping this weekend, our last big blast, before finishing up with all our back-to-school shopping and preparations for the new school year. So if you have any ideas of what you might be doing this weekend, I'd love to know what's going on this weekend. How do you intend to spend the last couple weekends of summer? Certainly next weekend, a long weekend, many will say, with the Riders, it's sold out. And this weekend, I have noticed just last night, my neighbor rolled up with their RV after it was at one of their spots there where they always go to Kenosi, keep it there for the summer. Some are bringing campers back home. Get them ready for storage here already, but... How about you? 1-877-300-7275. What's going on for you this weekend? Lots to do. Baseball fans who couldn't get enough of the Red Sox and their journey this year to the championship, well, you have more opportunities to visit Curry Field this weekend for championship ball. The Men's Baseball Canada National Championships are underway right now with the gold medal game slated to take place on Sunday at Curry. Teams from all over Canada are here, of course. We have two from Saskatchewan, the host Regina Trappers, and then, of course, Team Saskatchewan representing a lot of the province itself, too. So both the host Trappers and Team Saskatchewan won their opening games, and both clubs each have a couple of games today, too. So action is at Curry Field and at Optimus Park. But again, the championship game on Sunday will take place at Curry Field. There are a lot of people associated with this championship tournament in Regina. Yeah, you might bump into some of them local restaurants. They're shopping. They're staying in our hotel. So we welcome them all from all over Canada. And tomorrow, of course, is I Love Regina Day in Victoria Park. There's going to be a free barbecue, bouncy castles, face painting for the kids. There's live entertainment. The mayor will be there, of course, with his team, flipping burgers. And the day kicks off with the I Love Regina Run and Walk. That's at 8:30 tomorrow morning. And this year's I Love Regina Day is in conjunction with Shake the Leg, right? Tonight and tomorrow, as I mentioned, in front of the Kinexus. Default's the headliner tonight. Tomorrow, the Headstones. But I do think Trooper and the Stampeders are bringing mass appeal to the show tomorrow. So again, School of Rock locally starting it off tonight, followed by Helix, Finger 11, and Default. And tomorrow, Men Without Shame, one of the great local bands, cranks it off to start the day. And then the King, Stampeders, Trooper, and the Headstones too. Tickets still available directly from the Kinexus Arts Center. My buddy Neil Donnelly there, Shake the Lake organizer, went all in with the Canadian lineup this year, largely because this year was a little more difficult in securing talent from the U.S., given the age of artists now, he said, availability and timing. He'd love to have the likes of Rex Springfield and Pat Benatar visit in the future, but just wasn't meant to be, he said, this year.
Well, there's a variety of reasons. I mean, both those acts are on our list, and I think at some point in time they'll both play here. Or Joan Jett or some of the others that we've been going after for a number of years. This year was really a different year as far as the rider schedule came out a little bit later. We always wait till the rider schedule's out before, so we're not competing with a home game with them. And there's just been a lot of other festivals like this that have popped up, so we're competing against that. And then all these artists are getting older, and so they're actually not playing as much as they used to. And so there's lots of factors up against us, but I think we'll continue to do it, and I think we're going to continue to draw great talent like we've done in the past, and this year's no exception with our all-Canadian lineup.
So happy Shake the Lake weekend! Bring them out. Another week of the CFL. The Bombers handed the Alouettes their fourth straight loss, 26-13. And tonight, it's Edmonton taking on the Red Blacks in Ottawa. And, of course, here in Regina, we're focusing on the big game for the Riders tomorrow. Our depth chart coming out later on in advance of the game. We did see the injury report. Mario Alford back at practice this week, but he apparently is going to miss his fifth straight game this weekend. Maybe they're holding off till Labor Day, but no Nick Weeb either. Knee. And we got a new kicker in town. Campbell Fair arrived to push Brett Lawther. Yet when we pushed Coach Mace yesterday on a little clarification, it was kind of wishy-washy on Wednesday about Lawther starting. And then our CJME Rider reporter, Britton Gray, asked yesterday for a little more clarification from the coach.
I had a plan. Yeah, we'll get the kicker out there to swing it, man. So we'll see.
Yeah, pretty cagey still. Joining me now, Grey Cup chap, Green Zone analyst, Belton Johnson. We're not getting much from the coach there, Belton. What do you think is going to happen here?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Me personally, I think they're probably going to, give Lawther another shot here, right? Like you said, they brought somebody in to push him, and we'll kind of have to see, wait and see what happens. Macy's playing close with the cards there, I think.
No kidding. Very tight. I would think they'd give him another week. I heard TSN's Dave Naylor on the Green Zone yesterday and said, generally, if you're going to bring someone in, you give him one more week to go. So I suspect Lawther is going to start. But the only club to beat us this year, what are you looking at for the game tomorrow, Belton?
So, the thing I'm looking at is, I have to look back at week six when the Stamps, beat the Riders. And the one thing that I had noticed was the trench play where it looked like the Stamps, they were the aggressors and everything. So for this week, I'm looking at the Riders to come out stronger, right? And just, again, it's the battle of the trenches. That's where the game is won and lost, Greg. And, they do have to control Vernon Adams there a bit. And, the Riders, they've been pretty solid here these last few weeks here.
Well, you're a former Grey Cup champ. You've played a lot of football. When you look at this record of 8-1 and you think the Stamps are the only one to have beaten you, that's got to serve as quite a bit of motivation, doesn't it, going into this game?
Oh, absolutely. That's motivation. And again, when the Stamps beat them, I felt like that was embarrassing for them to come into Mosaic and do what they did. And if you remember that first half of that game back in week six, I think the Stamps had 367 yards net offense. Riders had, 95. The Stamps had 86 rushing yards. The Riders only had three. So I'm sure they're looking at that game. We could have did this better, done this better. And I know this week in practice, I know they had day one. I think they had a pretty with the pads on. So I think they're going to come out this week. They have to set the tone right off the hop here.
When you use the stats to put it that way, you're right. There's a lot of motivation there for sure. Belton Johnson's my guest, our Grey Cup champ and Green Zone analyst. And I don't know if you saw this. As I was driving to work this morning, you talk about embarrassing. I think the Bombers are trying to embarrass us a little here. I saw near the casino on my drive into work here this morning, one of those moving billboards, the video boards. It said, "Friends don't let friends wear green," and a big Blue Bombers logo. They're taunting us already. That game isn't even until next weekend. As you drive around and see those, what are your thoughts?
Well, I can't wait for the game for next week either. I like, banter and things like that, right? I think it just, builds up for the upcoming week again here.
It does. It sure does. Hey, let me get your score for the game tomorrow night before I say goodbye.
Well, I do have the Riders going in to Calgary. They're winning, and I have the score of 29-22 Riders there.
29-22 from Belton Johnson. We'll hear you on the post game and the pregame show, of course, tomorrow. All right. Thanks, Belton.
Have a good one.
Well, you made it. Friday morning, the weekend is here. It's I Love Regina Day tomorrow in Victoria Park. Free barbecue. Mayor Chad Bushinsky in yesterday in my studio told us a few of the details.
Super excited to host I Love Regina Day this Saturday. Starting off with the run, I'll have my family there. We'll be running different distances. There's the 3 kilometer, 5 kilometer, 10 kilometer. So we'll start off with that. We'll have some greetings on the stage. We'll have music, bouncy castles. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great chance to get the community together, and it's all free.
If you could only pick one thing, what do you love about Regina?
I love the people. I love running into people that I know and sharing stories. And there's always always a good story to share.
Mayor Chad Bushinsky in downtown Regina's Victoria Park tomorrow for the big I Love Regina Day celebrations. Looks like it's getting back to normal over at the Regina Airport. CEO James Boga said Air Canada has restored most of its flights since that strike ended.
In terms of local operations here, this means we have all our Toronto service back to normal and, of course, the full-blown service to Vancouver. So we're very happy to see this.
James said over 129,000 people are going to be flying in and out of the Queen City over the next 24 hours. And Air Canada is now telling us that they're going to reimburse people for hotel and food bills. But they say it could take 4 to 6 weeks to pay everyone back. But whatever you've heard or seen, it just seems like it takes forever. You know, when it comes to passenger rights or to go your way. So they say they're going to do that, and let's hope they follow through. The cleanup continues from Wednesday night's big storm. Funnel clouds reported near Martinsville. Apparently in North Battleford, winds gust 129K. Sheesh. And there, of course, was baseball-sized hail, something like 200 insurance claims and rising. Crops took a huge hit in those areas, which is hugely unfortunate there as well, too. And this morning, Eric Menendez has been denied parole during his first-ever parole hearing, 36 years and one day after he and his brother killed their parents. In prison since 96 for the 1989 brutal murder of his wealthy parents, Eric Menendez was denied his attempt at parole after a very long and sometimes jarring virtual hearing yesterday. ABC News Matt Gutman explains how they came to the decision, despite the fact that Eric had an almost unblemished record in prison, especially over the last 20 years.
They talked about his pre-murder burglaries back in the late 80s, before the 1989 murders. He did it twice. They also talked about his multiple cell phone violation infractions that Eric had smuggled, or had cell phones smuggled into the prison. He paid $1,000 for one. He apparently took another from a prison guard, or bought one from a prison guard. And that, according to the parole board, showed a certain level of criminality. And finally, it was the shotgunning of Kitty Menendez, Eric and Lyle's mother. That is something that the parole board simply could not get beyond. They basically said she didn't have to die and asked Eric point blank, why did you shoot her? Eric said, I thought that she was complicit. She had betrayed us. And I wish to this day that I hadn't done it.
So a crushing defeat for the Menendez brothers after they felt they had come so close after being resentenced just a couple of months ago from life without the possibility of parole to 50 years to life that opened up this possibility for parole, which for Eric is just not going to happen now, at least not for now. There are other options. There are a couple, but one of the easiest would be clemency, and California Governor Gavin Newsom could decide at any point at his discretion that he believes that the Menendez brothers have paid their dues in prison, he could release them. But it's probably extremely unlikely after hearing the depth that this parole board meeting went down to decline Eric his parole. It took them 10 hours to decide his fate. And today they're going to dive into brother Lyle's opportunity. Lyle doesn't have as many blemishes on his record, but he also doesn't have an outstanding record in prison as a model prisoner as Eric did. So that's not likely to help him in any way. And that Netflix movie put the spotlight on these two brothers over the last year and has almost made them, well, heroes for some who are in prison. And many say, well, it's a miscarriage of justice. The boys were abused. And many newbies to the case have said they had to do what they did, killing their parents to get away from it all. But one man, a lawyer, a television analyst, most of you know, who followed or reported on this case way back in the day it all began in 89, was Geraldo Rivera. He was on television last night and said, they got it right.
I have absolutely no sympathy, I have to say. Maybe it's because I have covered it from the very beginning. These are two thugs who savagely murdered their parents. Close range shotgun blasts. Jose Menendez could not even be recognized. His mother's limbs were shot to hell. And then they lied about it, spent all the money. I remember the darlings of Beverly Hills for a time. Now they are again with Kim Kardashian and the Netflix documentary. Netflix could make Charlie Manson look good if they wanted to. I think that they are exactly where they should be. I think you're looking at people who will be in for the rest of their lives.
Rider fans, you fired up for the big game tomorrow night. CFL kicked into gear last night with the last Thursday night football game. It was the Bombers handing the Alouettes another loss, their fourth straight for the Alouettes, who've been decimated at quarterback with injuries, 26-13. Winnipeg won last night. Tonight, it's Edmonton taking on the Red Blacks, and our depth chart is coming out a bit later on. We did see the injury report. Mario Alford not going to be playing this game. He'll be out for his fifth straight game, although he was seen at practice a couple of times this week, and the one issue for the club has been the kicker, right? Brett Lawther. And this week they brought in Campbell Fair. And when pushed Wednesday, head coach Corey Mace was kind of cagey. But I think he when you listen here, he's still giving Lawther the start, I think. This is what he said Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, that's the anticipation. So, but you never know how that goes, man. I'd love to say everybody's going to play, but still got a couple days of practice.
That was Wednesday. Then our CJME Rider reporter, Britton Gray, asked yesterday for a little more clarification, and we got this.
I had a plan. Yeah, we'll get the kicker out there to swing it, man, so we'll see.
Not really saying it all there. TSN's Dave Naylor on the Green Zone telling Jamie Nye that he kind of thinks the coach has got to get Brett. They start at least one more time before bringing in this new guy.
Yeah, my instinct is it would be Brett Lawther. Just looking at, you know, in a very general sense, when kickers get brought in, you know, unless there's an injury, usually the guy gets at least another week to hold on to his job once a kicker's in for competitions. I would be surprised. And it sounded in the first clip you played like Corey Mace was leaning that way, but didn't want to be lying to the media unless something happened that he changed his mind. So he just kind of opened the back door on that, the end of that quote. I expect it'll be Brett Lawther.
All right. Well, we'll know for sure later when the depth chart comes out. And of course, tomorrow too. Hey, earlier in the week, Coach Mace was talking about how the Riders, as they head to Calgary tomorrow night, no doubt they're going to find fan support in the stands.
Yeah, it's not always a home game for Calgary. Even back in the heyday, you know, the Rider Nation always shows up in Calgary, hoping much of the same this week, man. So it's really cool, you know. But I don't want it to say it's Calgary as we know. Shoot, it's almost any stadium we go to. Our fans, they always show up for us, man. So it's, again, much appreciated, much love. Let's keep that rolling.
Yeah, Coach made some fan support the Riders seem to get, no matter what stadium they play in this league, they find it. And the biggest rivalry always seems to be against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And I noticed it on my drive to work this morning. Perhaps you will too. I think these just launched, but the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, even though that game is until next weekend, the long weekend, and it's sold out, the Bombers tossing a little stick our way. There are billboards flashing around town now that suggest friends don't let friends wear green. It's a billboard campaign. Friends don't let friends wear green. I say let's stick it to them. Next week, we're going to paint this town green. Everyone should be wearing green, decorating green. I'll get the Marion on this, too, I think, next week. We'll get it to be Green Day next week at some point. I'm positive. They can't do this in our own backyard. Friends don't let friends wear green. We wear it proudly. CJME News Time is 628.